Thank you for listening to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. If you'd like to listen to bonus episodes, go sign up to the Patreon. That's patreon.com. We f***ed that. Anyway, you'll find a way. Hey, welcome to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. This is a very special episode because it's a sneak peek into the new podcast that I've started releasing on the Patreon. If you go and you sign up to the Patreon, you'll be getting a new episode of this podcast every week. It's called The Franchise, and my idea is that I'm going to franchise my stand-up comedy to different festivals. Namely, number one, the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, the biggest fringe festival in the world. I don't want to go. I don't have time to go. I don't have the energy to go. I don't have the money to go. But I found a wonderful woman, Eve Ellenbogen. She's going to go for me and do my stand-up comedy dressed as a James Donald Forbes McCann impersonator. It's a beautiful story that unfolds over on the Patreon. The idea came to me when I was talking to Aidan Taco Jones in an episode that can never be released because I listened back to the audio and my microphone was broken for that interview and that interview only. Does that augur well for the future? No! You know what else doesn't augur for the future? I've had a number of drinks this evening, but I hadn't had a number of drinks when I recorded this podcast. So this is the sneak peek, full first episode of the franchise with the wonderful Eve Ellenbogen. And it's just going to start playing. And if you want to hear more episodes coming out, excuse me, a little burp there. Oh, another one. There we go. If you want to hear new episodes every single week, go and sign up to the Patreon. 50 people have signed up to the Patreon already. Isn't that wonderful? And I am happy to announce before we go on with the sneak peek that I did indeed manage to accomplish what I set out to do. All of the mugs have now been delivered to their owners. And I didn't have a heart attack, which is what I was frankly afraid of would happen when I got rid of the final mug. I have too many weird thoughts to be allowed to run my own businesses. I can have the ideas, but someone else has to do the actual handing out of things because I develop complexes. But if I actually get rid of all the mugs, maybe I'll have a heart attack and die. So they're out now, and Loz has been recompensated for her painting because I haven't found the painting, so I just paid her for it. And if I find the painting, she can have that and the money. Win-win, win-win-win. But now, here's the franchise with Eve Ellenbogen. And I'm James Donald Forbes McCann. Go sign up to the Patreon. Thank you very much. God bless you. God keep you. Who's that? Who's... Mal, is that you? Mal and Meg, do you want to be on this episode of the podcast? No, it's just my stage voice. I can talk in a more relaxed fashion. I'm sorry. No, you sure? I'm about to play a special Patreon-only episode that I recorded already with Eve Ellenbogen because I'm too drunk to do a full episode on my own. Is there anything you'd like to say to as many as 300 people?
300 people?
It's my father-in-law, Malcolm.
That's more people than I've ever spoken to in my whole life.
Well, you're doing it now! Oh, Malcolm. And Meg. Yes. Meg, you're an onion. We've got layers.
I'm sincere to say.
Yeah? Yes.
Listeners, good on you for tuning in. You're the start of a wave, a tidal wave.
Yeah, we're all massively drunk. It's been great to be here. Malcolm made margaritas tonight, and they are strong in the traditional Mexican style. But I said on the last podcast I was going to try and drink less this year, and it's been a massive failure thus far. But I didn't smoke. Everyone else was smoking, and I stayed off the darts. But I'm going to go and feel bad about that for the rest of the night. All right. I'll feel good about it tomorrow, but not tonight. Tonight I'll just wake in a fever dream thinking about how much I love cigarettes. Gee, they're magical. Meg, you stayed off the darts.
Yes, and I recommend it.
Meg, you've got an album. Malcolm, you've enjoyed it. Meg, you've got an album coming out soon.
Yes, in about 3 years I'll have it finished, but I have a single coming out.
Oh, well, how can people find it?
Once Malcolm finishes editing it, I'll let you know.
Is that true? Are you doing the editing?
It will be on Spotify.
It will be on Spotify, and can I link to it when it comes out?
Yes, you absolutely.
All right, we'll push it. Well, I'll listen to it first and see if it's good. I don't know, but you seem like a lovely lady. I'm sure your music would be excellent. All right, here we go. Here's the interview with Eve Ellenbogen now, the franchise, the new episode. Sign up to the Patreon. You can hear extra episodes. Malcolm, thank you very much for the margaritas.
Thank you, my
we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you, dear listeners, I'll see you after I start playing the new episode. Thank you! That was to you guys over there. And to the listeners. It was a double thank you. Bye-bye-bye.
Now it's recording. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So I came to America and we got to hang out and I got all these American listeners and Patreon people.
Oh.
And I've built... Yeah.
Someone followed me. He saw a picture of you. Can I interrupt with this, by the way?
No, please. Yeah.
So somebody followed me. He saw a picture of me. He saw you with Shane Gillis.
Yeah.
Then he went through to your Instagram, and then you had reposted a photo of me and you, and
yes.
He followed me, and then he started like sending me responses to.
Oh.
He's
gonna kill
and
you.
But then he was like, by the way, like I put something up and he said, just so you know, I followed you. I haven't heard your comedy before. I just think you're really cute. And I was like, excuse me, hello? What? Who are you? And he lives somewhere like so far away. But he we like flirted for a while before I found out that he lived far away. And it was like, thank God for James McCann. Because the truth is I'll take a guy who wants to sleep with me over someone who thinks I'm funny. I'll do it.
And look, and he's far away, so there's no temptation to get bogged down in a difficult relationship.
Well, there's no risk of being stalked. Do you know what I mean? Because then, I've had people who are like...
Well, he'd have to be very
committed.
Yeah,
he can't disappoint me by killing me. You know what I mean? Like,
I like to think that you think that the desire to kill you would be so low that someone wouldn't spend $300 on a plane ticket. But no, I live too far away.
You're right.
He
could still disappoint me that way. Okay, so sorry. So you got all these American followers.
Mm-hmm. I did. I got American followers, okay. And I was talking to Aiden about Edinburgh. Because I have almost no one in the UK. And I'm trying to buy... But the podcast is I'm trying to buy a boat. And so I'm trying to get information about the podcast out to enough people so I get enough listeners that the ad revenue pays for a boat. And so I now have American people, and that's great. But it would be good to have, just to knock off the English-speaking countries. And I was like, right. Edinburgh. Aiden was here. We were talking about Edinburgh. He's a Edinburgh pig. He loves it. He's just like a hog in slop. He can't get enough, right? He's kicking all the time. He does the free fringe, and we spoke about that. And I was like, how many fans could I get out of Edinburgh? Like, maybe Patreon people or whatever. And he was I forget the number he said, but let's say it's like 20. Okay. 20 committed.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like 100,000. I thought he was like really optimistic, but
he was like, people will enjoy the show, but in terms of like people who might pay you on going after Edinburgh with a Patreon or something, it's probably not going to be a huge number. And it's like, that's a full month of my life. I got these three kids. I can't spend a month in Edinburgh for what is likely to be a very... I mean, I don't have any relationships there. I'd have to build them up. It's hard. So here's the idea that I've had.
I'm really excited. Okay.
Okay. And this involves you from here. Because you're going to Edinburgh and you'll have a show and you're looking at maybe having a second show somewhere.
Yeah, I was thinking about having a solo show called, so far working title is Dead Mom Stuff and Other Fun Stories.
I like it.
You know, like, I just wanted to leave room to not talk about my dead mother, just like dead mom stuff, but also other things, like sex and then, or both, baby. And then I was thinking about, at the suggestion of our mutual friend Peter Jones, I was thinking about having like a showcase/lineup show.
Yes.
Just to like be able to fuck around and do stuff that doesn't feel high pressure.
Well, I think having a second show is... But also financially, if you're doing the free fringe, the costs to get over there and to live are the same.
Right.
And then doing that second show can sometimes make life worthwhile, I think. I've never done the festival. That's just what people say.
Yeah, I might have a breakdown, but I also think that it could be really fun. I don't know. You know, you leave the UK, you leave Australia. Over there, it's just like, if you're funny, it like rains comedy on you.
Yeah.
In New York, I'm just like, I'm just a little sea slug in the big city.
But at least you get to do that in New York. There are people doing that in LA, and then also they have to live in LA. And that's very hard. But
you hate LA. You really hate LA.
I am moderating my opinion on LA because I hung out at the end of my trip there with some people with money who drove me around. And that was much nicer than walking with the poor. But I can really see that it's a really driving if you're a rich city. So here's my idea. I'm going to give you the idea.
Okay, tell me.
Okay. And you might not want to do it. But you're the first person I thought you'd be great. And if you don't want to do it, other people can do it. But you'd, I think, be the best one. My thought is to spare me actually having to go to Edinburgh and, you know, make the connections and grow the... I will franchise my act.
Right.
I will have a James Donald Force McCann costume, an hour of the best James Donald Force McCann jokes, and hire someone who will get the money from the show... But just hand out the flyers is all I really, you know, just to grow the podcast, to introduce people to my work, a James Donald Force McCann impersonator.
Oh, my God. Okay. And so you're wanting me to impersonate you?
Yes. And you don't actually have to do an impression. You just put on a red wig, pretend glasses. I'll give you a little silk scarf to pretend to look and do my act. And I'll write the jokes for you.
Do you wear a silk scarf?
Sometimes I wave a silk scarf. I'm trying to figure out what the look is. Maybe a tweed jacket. But there'll be a look, maybe like a pillow under the belly for to give you the real fat James McCann, you know, dad bod.
Well, I did gain like 10 pounds in a month not long ago. So
you've gained it in all the right areas. I need you to have this in the wrong areas.
Wait, so this is kind of like, what was Andy Kaufman's manager's name again?
Have I stolen this idea?
Did you ever see the movie?
No.
He would always dress up as his manager, but like his fake manager.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or his friend, Tony, whatever.
And he would do a pretend opening act.
Right. And he'd be like really mean. And then after he died, the final scene, if you haven't seen the movie Man on the Moon, I don't care. I'm ruining it. He would, in the movie, he's already dead. And then that person is still on stage at the Comedy Store in LA. And they're like, is he really dead? But anyway, the point is,
did that keep happening?
I don't think so. I think I don't know, who even knows if it happened, you know?
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that it's like a great end to a really good movie. Okay, so you want me to dress up as you. And like with like a wig and a scarf and like a suit and the sweat beads, which would it'd be summer.
Yeah, if you could look very unhealthy, I'd really appreciate that.
Because the last time I saw you was here. Can I say what I said to you on the Staten Island Ferry? Do you remember what I said to you when we were standing outside?
We said so many things, but you can
Remember when I had a moment of like I confronted you as a friend?
When you said, you've got a real stink on you?
I said to you, we were like in the chill autumn air of New York in the wind. Like there's no windier spot than the front of the Staten Island Ferry. And yet I was like, James, you are ripe. You need to do something about how you smell right now.
I bought a shirt in Staten Island so that you didn't have to endure it.
That's true. I think you told me that you only had one shirt in New York until you bought that second shirt. Is that right?
Yeah, and then when I went back to Manhattan, I bought that first shirt again. I went back to because it was like an $8 shirt, and I thought it was really cool, so I now have two sizes of that shirt.
But you could just wash it, you know? No, I could.
I was between homes at that point.
And it wasn't a bathing thing. Like, you were bathing, it was just the shirt.
You know, I have sensitive skin, so I don't put a lot of deodorant on, and I had been walking a lot. It was a very hot day.
But you were still showering daily.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Right?
I don't know that I shower well. This haunts me only because when I got back to Adelaide, I was doing a gig for a guy, and the venue manager came over and said, mate, I'm gonna go to my car because I've got some deodorant there, and the way you smell might actually upset some of the audience. That was after you saw me. So now I have now taken, I'm taking more strenuous steps to not smell bad.
You know, but I don't think you generally do. I think it's just a combination of
How many times does it have to happen to go?
Well, but I don't think it's like, oh my God, you stink. I think it's like, okay, you got to shower every day. You got to wash those pits, wear some deodorant and wash and launder or change shirts.
No, you're right. So, there are ways around it. But it's also that I've become a fat man. And this is not a problem that I, this is not something that I had earlier on in my life. And it's as I've gained people, you know, the body positivity movement. I'm glad that people feel good about themselves. But as I get fatter, I become stinkier. And I think the answer is just an overall life. No one talks about that. The fat stinky person is a trope. But now that I've become more fat, I have become more stinky. And something has to be done about it. But don't you feel the need to be stinky at the Edinburgh show to give people the full experience?
Right. That's how we got to this. Yeah. By the way, I just want to point out that I'm a really good friend because people don't say that. And I tell my friends, if they need to brush their teeth, but like nicely. But brushing your teeth is harder because it's hard to say, hey, your mouth stinks like shit. But yours didn't. But not that I got that close, that. You know.
No,
but
no,
maybe
no.
It was covered up by the waft of your armpits. Maybe
I'm playing 3D chess out here. I'm not letting anyone know about the halitosis because the rest of my BO is so bad. Eve, will you do it? Will you consider doing it?
I will consider it. So I can bathe. As long as I can bathe and as long as the costume that you send me has been clean.
We can work on the costume together.
Okay. I'll consider it financially.
So, yep.
This seems like the weirdest thing I've ever heard. No, here's a question I would ask you.
Okay.
Would it have to be a full hour of your show? Or what if I was doing my lineup show and I did a set as you and explained to the audience? Do you know what I mean? Like, because that would be a third. And would it have to be every night? Or can it be like several different? Because sometimes you can do like four shows the whole festival for a certain show. Do you know what I mean?
That's
like,
true.
So how many, how often were you thinking? Like, how long was each set?
I was thinking an hour long show for a full run.
Hour show for a month. You want me to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to do an hour show every day for 30 days. And so in addition to my two other shows, you want me to be you?
Well.
What's my take? You're like, but you can keep the money? Is that what you're saying?
I was going to say, you can keep the money.
My free show.
Well, you get people hand money in at the end, right?
Well, if they enjoy it, and this sounds like a fucking acid trip.
Why would people not enjoy this show? This is the number one show of the Fringe. Or so I do believe. But it'd have to be in the free Fringe, and it would be, you could also, I don't mind you throwing in some of your own jokes.
Money?
Okay. If during a lineup show, you were thinking wanted to do a lineup show so that you could do like 10 minutes of new every night.
Right.
Or you know, whatever it is you'd get in a lineup show. I'm not opposed to, in the James Donald Forbes McCann show, there being an opening act called Eve, who gets to do her new jokes and her new things before she comes out for 45 minutes and does the James McCann impression. That's an option too. So it's just about making it work for you.
This is so
but
funny.
But I think you'd be the funniest one. I think you'd be the funniest person to do it. You got the best delivery. Really, the closest delivery to my delivery on stage of anyone who was in the Melbourne comedy scene that I can think of. You know?
Wait a minute. Okay, but I feel like you're like tickling my pickle a little bit here. Like,
yes, I am. Baby. I'm out to tickle a pickle.
I obviously, you know, I think like you're one of my favorite Australian comics.
I'm
whatever.
Exceptional.
You know,
like, yeah.
You also have the confidence of just like a newborn naked child screaming who's like, I just shit myself and yet I demand to be loved. And then the kid
getting
is
loved. A
lot
loved. Of that at the moment. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. So you have this wild confidence that works. It does work. Do you know what I mean? Like, it really works for
you've
you.
Got a wild confidence. Now, come on now.
I'm a shy...
It's not true. You've walked. I've never seen anyone walk people in Melbourne except for you. And it was bold and beautiful. I remember I got up after you.
Where?
At a gig in the inner north of Melbourne. And there were six people in that audience when you went on stage. And there were three when you got off. And you... but it was great!
You know,
it was a thrill!
Sure.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever walked anyone in my
life.
Oh,
it happened. Maybe after you left the room, but like
probably
it was
they left after me. Yeah.
Yeah.
They definitely wouldn't have gotten. People don't get up during my set because they're afraid of me, but they might have gotten up.
I'm
afterward.
A wallflower. I'm soft, sensitive. People fear me.
That's so funny. Whenever somebody gets up after my set, which almost never happens because people just they come so hard during my set they don't want to get up because their pants are wet. But whenever they get up after my set, I tell myself it's because they've had enough. Like, as in it was like, this was so good, it's not going to get any better. That's how I explain it. I've never thought of it as walking people. But,
in a good movie, people will do that after the first act, you know?
Yeah, they just leave. I saw Pinocchio, the new Pinocchio last night. It was great. But there's this one scene where, I don't want to like ruin it, but it's a great scene. But it gets very dark, right? It's the same guy who did Pan's Labyrinth. And there's one scene where Pinocchio is like literally on a crucifix about to be burned at the stake. And there was a couple of rows in front of us that just got up and they were like, we can't do this anymore. like they just, and I was there with, do you know who Dan Smith is? Canadian comic. performs at the...
Sorry, my garbage is about to be picked up. If we could just pause for 1 second while the garbage truck moves past. I will wind up the window so that when the garbage spills out, it's not... Oh, I knew this would happen at some point. Actually, I do have to have a word with them, just because last time they only half emptied the garbage bin. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, if you want to go have
stay with me.
Okay.
Here we go. Hold on. Well, see how it goes. I'll just have a look at how much falls out. Oh, there's a nappy on the street. Okay, let's see how we did. Hold on. This is a very important part of the podcast. Well.
Sorry, I was quickly pausing to... Oh, he took all of it.
He took all of it.
Amazing. I was quickly pausing to look at a photo of me that someone tagged me in from New Year's Eve.
How was it? How'd you look?
This is... I look terrible. I mean, my face looks okay, but I look totally pregnant. Like, the angle... it's the angle. It's not me. It's that the guy... You know, the guy who took it obviously hates Jews. So that's why
now,
So Pinocchio, basically...
There's enough anti-Semitism in the world for real now to not go that photo.
I know. That's true. It is very funny. Well, anyway. Sorry, I'll come back to that. So the show. I've never walked anybody. Now, my delivery... is so far away from your delivery. But I think there's a way it could be really fun. I can tell you right now, I think it's too much of a commitment to do the whole festival every day.
By the way, you don't have to do it with my delivery. You do your delivery. You do sassy New York.
No matter the delivery, I think it's probably too much to do every day. I think it would probably kill me. Because as it is, it's like, oh man, am I gonna die from doing this much in the festival? But if I did, if I added a third show,
What if I could get other people as well to do some nights?
I think so that's a really good idea because you have so many comedian friends in the Australian comedy scene. I think what could be cool is to, I mean, wouldn't it be wild if you put on a show, if you applied for this show, technically you're the producer, and you don't end up going and you have other people your co-producers, and then we each take responsibility for different nights.
Okay, now hold
or
on.
Weeks.
Well, let's talk about this. So who do you know who's going to Edinburgh, who I also know? So like
Peter Jones. No relation, but the Joneses. I can't believe I never put that together. Probably Adam Knox.
I think Adam Knox is great.
You guys have a certain similar. He's taller than you.
Yes, we're heavy set gingers, taller. Come on.
Right. And then Luca Muller is going. I think.
Is Luca going? He's too successful now that he's a Triple J nighttime presenter.
He is a Triple J. That's true. If he doesn't go, I'm also going to just claim that he doesn't like Jews. I was messaging with Pete recently.
I'm a philo-Semite, which is the good kind of problematic Jew relationship.
Wait, I'm gonna look up Pete, because Pete and I were messaging on Instagram about housing in Edinburgh. So I'm going to see if he mentioned anyone else who's going. Okay. No, he didn't mention it. He said the boys. Okay, let's see. Let's look at my mutual friends with Pete. I don't think Andrew Portelli's going. What about maybe Zach Dyer? I don't know.
Oh, he's very funny.
I'm trying to think who else was there. George Demorellis. He was there.
He's very funny.
Last time I went. Very funny.
But the thing is, hello, and fool me one time. Wait, is this the guy?
Is that what he
I'm
does?
I'm thinking George Zacharopoulos. Excuse me.
Oh, no. George Demorellis does...
I don't know.
He has a whole show called literary comedy or something.
He does the book show. He's very good.
Yes. And I think he's up for like
Crime and Punishment on the cover. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, he's up for wacky ideas. I'm looking at Kyle Legacy goes every year. British
Now, as much as I love Karl Legacy, I don't know that he's right for it.
You wouldn't want Karl Legacy. You definitely wouldn't want him to do this. I doubt that Blake Freeman's going, and even if he were, there's no way he would do this. He'd go,
back with Blake. Why wouldn't Blake?
Say again?
Why wouldn't Blake do it? Blake would be excellent. I've always wanted to be.
Oh, mate. I don't know, mate. You know, like he would just be like,
I've always wanted to be a fuckable 22-year-old.
I mean, now he's like 27 or something. But I maybe he's like 25, 26.
Time.
He will always be a fuckable 22-year-old in my eyes.
Yeah. I met him when he was 17. He was so, you know, I was about to say supple, but I won't say that. I'll say supple. Just splendid.
I'll say flexible. He was so, you could touch his toes very well.
He was nubile.
That Blake Freeman. Exactly. He was so, so gentle. Who else is going?
Eve, these people all have some big problems. They're not you.
What's that?
I think you're the best one.
Okay, but I couldn't. Okay, so I could do it as part of a team, I think. I could do it as
but
part
let's
of a
talk,
team.
Hold on, let's talk about this lineup show. Obviously, you should do a solo show. You should do a solo show.
Lineup show.
New material show. Waste of time. You'll be doing spots around town. That's what the spots are for.
Wasn't it you at the very beginning of this call who said that it was such a good idea that I was doing a lineup show? You were like,
I said it was
great.
A good idea to do a second show. And I think that should be the show that I'm pitching you. I think this second show, if this pops off, this is such a off-the-wall idea. Maybe Stuart Lee hears about it, writes a little article in The Guardian. Next thing you know, you're on Graham Norton. You're hosting Eurovision. Who knows what your life looks like after doing this show?
You know what the crazy thing is? The crazy thing is, it's like, part of me is like, is he right? You're so confident. It reminds me of like Donald Trump, only in the way that it's like how or if you've ever seen the Fyre Festival documentary where it's someone's so confident, you're like, is he a genius? And like, you're like, well, he said I should murder people, but I just think he could be right.
I've often said
I'm
the Ja Rule of the Australian comedy scene.
You're the job role. You're so convincing. And the thing is that sometimes it works out. Like, I've seen you when I hung out with you in New York. You were there because you had opened for Shane Gillis in Australia.
Yeah.
And who's like mega famous here.
He is.
And then how did you meet Shane Gillis?
I talked my way into getting backstage when someone else was opening in Adelaide, and then I flew to Melbourne to do the show.
I heard this, but I didn't want to. Yeah. I didn't want to that I'd heard.
That's true. Yeah. That did happen. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so I heard that. So this is the thing: you didn't know this guy. He's in Australia. Someone else is opening. You talk your way backstage. You convince him to let you open elsewhere. Then you open for him. Then he says, "Hey, man," probably just like, you know, like a side thing. "Hey, man, if you're ever in New York, feel free to whatever." And then the next thing you know, you're like, "Hey, I'm coming. I got one shirt. I sometimes stink a little bit. I'm sitting on your fucking couch." And then you get on at the stand, and you get on all these places. I can't get on at
the stand. The stand was great. The stand was great. Let me tell you, when you get on at the stand, you're going to have a wonderful time.
Oh, yeah. One day when I fucking blow the janitor and they let me hold the microphone. I don't know. No, I'm going to get on
the janitor,
the stand.
And he's hot. Frankly, I think.
Well, all right. Well, you're selling it. But
there are great looking people running the stand. Listen, you're going to get on at the stand, and I'm going to get you. What if I could? If you do the 4 months, what if I can get you onto the stand?
Through Shane Gillis?
I don't know how. Maybe through my own magnetism at this point. They were great.
But then it could also backfire where somebody gets mad at you being like, "You got to put this chick on," and then somehow I get blacklisted. But let's see.
New York is so... It's very political comedy scene.
Very political. Actually, don't know the way. Yeah, yeah. I feel like that's playing with fire. I probably should get on the stand by like sending in a tape, you know? That might be my first approach rather.
I think all of it is people walking you in. I think it's showing up with somebody who's famous.
So. But I know people who are on there. I go there often, or you know, semi often. But it's about, you know, that person being like, "You gotta put this person on," and this is a city of rats, you know. We're not out here helping each other.
Sorry, the garbage bin is
that?
That's a garbage bin outside.
By the way, did you mention that you were in your car? Did you mention that in this recording?
I don't know. It happens so often in my recordings that I don't even take the time to bother to say I'm in my car. And because the garbage truck is going past, I had my window up. So it's also extremely
in
hot.
Summer. In Adelaide. No, in Melbourne. So this is okay. So my point is basically I can't tell how what the idea if you're like a genius or if you're a madman.
Take a few days. Take a few days to think about it. I'm going to get in touch with Dan Willis to see if they'll, you know, if people will even give me the room for this idea. I'm going to line it up. But I think financially it's going to be a boon. I can't tell. I don't need to make any money out. If all it does is build relationships and people, like, at the end of the show, get a flyer going, look up this man's work. You've had a taste. Yeah. See what this is pointing towards. Then I win, right? Because I, you know, so.
And I wonder if there's a secondary, but I think you are more, you're most interested in the crazy idea than, like, because I was going to say, what if there's a secondary idea for, like, if this show didn't happen, for how to get your name out in the UK? But that's not interesting to you, is it? You like the craziness.
I really like the crazy idea. And here's another thing. Right. I might send, if I have enough money, I might send my cinematographer over.
Why wouldn't you go?
To record
some
of
it. Film it.
Yeah.
Oh.
To film some of it.
Interesting.
I haven't decided yet.
So it's like me in your suit. Sweating,
but also you get to do your own Edinburgh.
Yeah, really? Oh, crazy! Oh, blah, 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 blah. Like I can do your like inflection.
That's a pretty good impression.
That's a pretty good impression. Oh, really? Oh, well, you know, I'm not the best with hygiene. Like that.
All right, let's not ad lib yet. And if we are going to ad lib,
you're like, hey, wait till you said yes before you roast me.
Well, it's going to be also at an hour. It's probably hard for someone to memorize like a bunch of different people, you know, for the payoff.
Well, there's just no way I could do an hour. I mean, that's crazy. But I wonder if
you could do an hour. I believe.
But if you were going to do this, would it not also be funny to put people more in on the joke? Would it not also be funny for you to have video clips of you in the show?
Okay. Well, here's one thing I thought is maybe I write like an intro that's like. So you come out dressed as me and you're like, hello, everybody. I'm so sorry I can't be with you here tonight. I didn't want to come to Edinburgh, but I've got this beautiful woman saying all the words instead. She is like an avatar saying all the comedy that I wanted to tell you. Please be very nice to her. Isn't she lovely?
It'd be funny if I was like reading off of cards and I'm like, this isn't even my real voice. I actually have an accent. Anyway, this chick is so hot, I'd like to fuck her in the ass, except that I'm a Catholic. I believe in the Pope. I have several children, which is why I'm so poor.
You're going to be so good. Now, this isn't an audition, but I want to let you know, Eve, you've got the part. That's actually, I might do that next time I'm up at the stand. Hello, everybody. I'd like to fuck someone in the ass. I wish I could. I miss it. It was great.
I'm a Catholic. That is the Lord's hole.
It's the opposite to the Lord's hole. It's Satan's hole. He doesn't want you going anywhere near that.
That's true. By the way, just side note, I was in the car with my dad and my stepmother on Christmas. And we were like, my dad and I, we are the Jews that would be on the wanted posters if ever the past repeats itself, you know. And like that's how Jewish we look. I mean, the other day I was getting on the subway and a Hasidic Jew, like, you know, like the woman who covers her hair with a wig because she's so religious and her husband has a cross. She just looked at me and she goes, and I had my scarf covering half my face and she goes, Happy Hanukkah. And I was like, God damn it. How do they know? But so my dad and my stepmother's not Jewish, but she, you know, she's a Jew lover. So we're in the car on Christmas Day and my dad and I were joking around singing some kind of Christmas whatever, and I go, oh, hold on a second, and I pull out my phone and I pull up the clip of you and my dad's 88, by the way, he's an older man.
I saw you and him singing. At the opera, he looks incredible.
What was the song that you put up that I love so much when you that you were on the piano
at the Christmas thing?
Yeah.
Was it which Christmas song? I don't know which one you liked. I sang a bunch
the one
of
you
songs.
Stopped and opened your
tongue. Silent Night.
Yeah. I pulled up Silent Night and I put it on and they laughed so hard. Oh, and I was like, that's my friend James McCann. He lives in Australia. And then I told them, you know, but the crazy thing is he's like actually so religious, and that is a real painting of the Pope in the background. And my dad was like, what, this man? Because my dad also has a big beard, and so I think also he related to you in that way. And he's super atheist, so for you to be a pope fucker, I'm sorry.
Honestly, if you were going to have a romantic fixation on any pope, it would be John Paul II. He was a good-looking man when he was younger. We only knew him when he was older and had the Parkinson's and
the tracheotomy. This is the guy who died recently?
No, that was Benedict. He's also good-looking, but in a more, you know, he's the one you end up with at the end of the movie who was good all along, but you didn't have the wild, passionate, you know, lust for.
Your parents approve of, and the one you love, like the new
He's
pope.
Not James Dean on the motorcycle. No.
Right, exactly. He's the safe one. He's the one who can pay the mortgage, but the one with your heart, that's the current guy, right? The one who, like, supports gay marriage or whatever.
It's hard to know what Francis believes, honestly. But he, you know, the Latin American spicy bad boy, always saying crazy things. But I will say, intellectually, Ratzinger, I think, was the bad boy. You know, it's just that, like, physically, he seems more a little, like, nice little. He actually was the Nazi, not the one I had in the wall. The one I had in the wall was the Pole. But Ratzinger, who died recently, was the. I mean, it was Germany at the time. I think you sort of had to, you know, obviously not good. We can't all be handing out leaflets and getting
that's
shot.
That's what I want. That's what I want in a Catholic, you know, someone who's a Nazi, because, like, everybody was, you know. It's like, yeah, he believes in Jesus, except when it's like not, you know, that.
Eve, I'm anti-Holocaust. I don't want you having any.
You know how you gotta, like, break a few eggs? You gotta kill a few Jews, you know, just for.
No, I don't think we should kill any Jews, Eve. I'm going to stick my neck out. I'm pro Semite. And that said, I think Kanye is having a... I don't know how culpable he is for some of the things he's saying. He's saying some nutty things. He's gone away now.
Breakdown. Yes, the Jews have him in our little... He's like somewhere buried in Israel. I mean, I think...
he's like Mossad has taken Kanye West away. He's too compelling.
Yeah. Tell us, you know, what is it you have a problem with the Jews? You know, that's somewhere in Israel. I can say it. I'm a Jew. But anyway, I think I don't really fault him for his anti-Semitism because he's just, like, losing his mind. But
I don't think he reads either.
Well, that's... That's,
he openly doesn't read. It's not, no, don't, it's not a rap. Wait, to what? What were you about to... No, he goes, like, I don't like reading.
All right, I was going to be like, that. I was like, you're racist. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. You're like, and he can't read. I'm like, uh-oh, here we go.
I think he can read. I think he chooses not to read. He's like, my mind's too powerful for books.
I mean, but here's another guy with confidence, you know? Yeah. I mean, you have confidence. Hitler had confidence. Kanye has confidence.
Let's not pretend you don't have confidence, too. I reckon in the certain circumstances, you could take over a small state. You could execute, you know, your enemies.
I don't know. Yeah, but women, I think part of having your period and feeling so much pain so often is that it just makes you empathetic. You're like, oh, like, just like you can't, if you're not on birth control, which I'm not, so I feel agony for days each month, and it really connects me to other people's suffering. So I don't think I could kill people. At least not, I don't know, unless it was while I was in pain. Then
I was
maybe
about to say,
it
depends on the day. My wife gets a very, that's why I keep impregnating her, so that she doesn't get the periods. They are wretched. It's so bad.
It's easier shouldn't for have eaten her to that go apple. Labor. Yeah, my fault, sorry.
It's easier for me. No, I meant Eve, the first Eve, the lady with the... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Eve, you got to do... I want you to do this show. Hold on. I'm too hot in this car and I'm going to pass out. And I've been here for half an hour. And we can do another podcast and talk about the specifics.
Okay.
Eve, I'm going to give you the confidence spiel. I think you'd be so good. I think it'd be an exciting, weird idea for a show. I think it would help people come to your show also. And you'd get... Right. I mean, it's about... What is Edinburgh for, right? Like, it's about getting to some next level. Sometimes it's about having a nice time, but it's also like breaking down a door. I think of it. Yes.
I think, says the guy who's like not going to Edinburgh. I think that you're like, I'll tell you what it's about. You know, I'll zoom into the shows.
I won't.
No.
Time difference.
I think, So what? So then there's like, the, so I think it's like, I'm kind of like, it's like a wackadoodle idea that I'm like, God, that could be kind of crazy and fun. But then I'm also like, okay, so then I would be there in August, yep. right? Like dying or whatever. And then I'm like, logistically, like, who's going to flyer for the show? And like, so then those flyers have to be, flyers have to be paid. And then the flyers yep. themselves have to be printed and all this stuff. And then you, and like, if no one buys tickets, then you got to bark people in and all this stuff.
I will 100% pay for the costs. And if you're doing okay. the show, I don't think it's fair that you also have to promote the show. I will pay mm-hmm. someone to flyer the show. And okay. to flyer mm-hmm. your show at the same time. Double-sided flyer.
Oh.
How you like
now
that?
Now you're speaking my language a little bit. So, okay.
I want to make it worth questions. Your while because you'd be putting yourself out. Hit me with the questions.
All right. So I guess my question, okay, I'm thinking about them. I also am like aware, I'm like, I don't want you to die like a dog in a locked car no, on a hot day.
Hold on. The window's coming back down. The garbage truck is gone. The window's coming.
Yeah. Suddenly, so you're like red and then all of a sudden the color is going to drain from your face. Okay. So you totally look so much more fresh at the start.
I feel, I'm going to take my shirt off immediately after we're done.
Okay. So I think an hour is a lot.
It is a lot.
But I wonder if there's a way to do it where it would be video. I think that you would get a lot more interest if you involved the audience on the joke and you included yourself. You kind of put yourself into the show in certain points. Of course, the complicated part about this is that then you would need a room that had like a video, you know, like a screen or something.
But I think if they don't see me, that's good. But I think there could be pamphlets. There could be sort of voice recording. I think they mustn't. They could maybe receive a picture of me as a gift.
Like the Pope.
To look at. And yes, and they can hold it up and they can look at the picture while you're talking if they so choose. But I think, isn't it funny if it's like a, like a, like an impression or like you're doing the act. Like it's like the McDonald'sification of the act.
Right, but I'd be doing an act of someone who they have never heard of
yeah,
yet.
That's the exciting part.
Right, to you, because you're not there, but you are actually funny. But me doing that impression might not be funny, because I'm not a good impression person.
No, here's
also,
another
you have
one.
An Australian so accent. I could never do that.
You don't have to do the impression. You totally do your own voice, your own rhythms. Mm. Here's something that I have already started doing.
Okay.
Now, I should have mentioned this. So there are two comedians in Australia who I'm mm-hmm. currently in talks with and who have both agreed mm-hmm. to do a trial mm-hmm. show in just as them doing it with an act. Alessio right. Carducci in
okay.
Melbourne. Do you know yeah. Alessio?
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. That's like, oh, Alessio, like, willing to do, like, a crazy thing. Like, I mean, I think Alessio is great. I think that's, like, such a, like, he's somebody who, if I said to him, you know what, I have this powder I found in the street. Found a bag on the subway. I don't know what it is. The guy next to it was dead, but I don't know if it was his, and that's why
yeah,
he died.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, he'd be like, yeah, mate. You know? I like, keep it trying.
I think, who was Ben Hunter? I think
that's
his name.
I don't think I know him.
Mm-hmm. In Brisbane. I always want to say Ben Knight, and it's not Ben Knight.
No, Ben Knight wouldn't do that, yeah.
And then I was thinking of a Perth one, and do you know Luke, Joseph Ryan, and Fran, his paramour, his beau?
Oh, Fran Middle, Fran?
Yeah.
Fran Middle,
yes.
Yeah.
Fran,
I
that
do,
was one
I know
option
both
I thought they could do it together. But another, I was thinking of everyone, like, I thought Chris Shin would be very funny, a little Korean
Chris
man.
Shin. Is he?
Yeah, hey,
he,
baby! Well, I'm
but
just
wanna,
Sean you Conway.
Really, you know, the thing is, if you had different nights and different people doing it, I mean, it would also be funny because then you might get people coming in to see different people doing the show.
If I can't go there, I think it's a logistical nightmare. And I think, yeah. like, do you know Tucker? Is his name Tucker Waka?
Yeah, Tucker. Oh, I love Tucker. Yeah.
I was going to ask him to do a Japanese version in Japan.
That'd be so funny.
That would be good. Watashiwa, James Donald Forbes McCann.
So give me an example of a joke. Tell me one of your jokes that I would
okay.
do.
Okay. I think that I sent, well, my biggest one on the internet is mm-hmm. I do a, it's a,
on,
it's
on
a,
the
it's,
internet?
Well, it did well on the internet. It's too similar to a David Cross bit, I thought. But other people didn't seem to mind. And I didn't know it was similar to David Cross bit at the time. Anyway, it's like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times, shame on me again. I can't believe I allowed you to fool me three times. Fool me four times, shame back on you. You're taking advantage of a vulnerable man. Fool me five times, and it just, there's like 15 of them.
Okay, so fool me once, shame on you. Because you do the little shame. Shame on you. Fool me twice. Shame on me. Fool me three times. Shame on me again. What am I doing?
Yeah, like that. Said. That's great. That's perfect.
Fool me four times. You're taking advantage now. What are you doing? What's wrong with you? Where's your conscience? Fool me five times. You're a criminal.
Yeah, you get it. You basically get it. And I think if you just have the building blocks of the act, you get it. You get it. What are another one? No, what's another one I'm doing? Like,
you basically get it. You
no, you get
simpleton.
It. You understand yep. the opinion. You know yeah, what I'm yeah. saying. What
I
else?
Get you.
What else? What's yeah. another bit?
Be like, that fool, but then you do like, a fool me three times. Like, it's like a little like voice.
I can give you a list of my influences for all the bits, but I think it's the Kangs of comedy. It's all Steve Harvey and Bernie Mac. My big...
Right. Okay, so I can't wait to get... And you'd be like, you know what would go great with this is if you did blackface. And I'm like, perfect. Great.
I didn't say that. You've said that.
Well, you implied it.
It's just the voice. It's just the rhythm. Mitch Hepburn, someone once told me that about Mitch Hepburn, that he was doing black rhythms in a white accent.
That's so funny. I mean, it's so funny that like we have everything. We're like, you know... Everyone's individual and all that, and then it's like, but he's speaking like a black man. It's like, what? What are you talking? Rhythmically, listen. You know, it's like what? Fuck off. But you know, okay. So give me another one.
Oh, I've got some poems that could be read. Yeah. A recent one is about Akhenaten, who's the.
Who?
He's an Egyptian pharaoh, but it's about someone taking their shirt off at a pool party. And
of course it is. Of course. Oh, wow. That sounds just like a joke I have about Genghis
is there?
Khan. No,
is it?
I'm just kidding. No.
I've got a Genghis Khan one as well.
You say Genghis? Nobody knows how to say his name. I never know. Anyway, go
ahead. I listened to that Dan Carlin series. Did you listen to that? It's like
I like Dan Carlin.
Genghis Khan came over the mountain.
He says Genghis? I thought it was Genghis. Okay. I listened to the one about... I never finished it, but it was so good. World War One, and that was like his most famous
very
one,
long. It's very long.
It was like 20
it's like
26
hours.
26 hours,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it was very good.
Can I tell you what I'll do on the jokes? Because I spent the COVID year recording a different 10 minutes every like month. I recorded it in like a half hour, and then I just broke it down to the best 10, and I uploaded it. And it wasn't like they're good jokes, I think. But I've always thought if I had a good hour, it would just be a compilation of like this whatever hour and a half that I've got on the internet. I could cut up all the jokes that I think would be good to put in it, and we can work on it together to pick what we think are the best ones or the ones that you can work with.
Part of me is like, ooh. And then you know what just happened in the middle of you talking about that? I just imagined running this past Pete Jones, who's like my kind of father figure in comedy. And he would go, no, what are you, crazy? Are you insane? You're going to, like, it's so funny. Maybe what we should do is...
Bring Pete Jones in?
I think we should do a follow-up episode and Pete Jones should be in the call.
All right. I'll do it. Let's do it. If I can convince Pete Jones, I'll feel very satisfied. Because
okay,
Pete
so
Jones
I'll
is
message-
a safe pair of hands.
Those are the sweetest hands. You know, the sweetest, safest hands in all of comedy.
he's the only person of his generation who was like, who got regular emceeing work and still got to do all the cool little rooms in Melbourne. Do you know what I mean?
I did too.
All right.
Then I got...
I wasn't there for that. Then you left.
I emceed a lot. The two of us emceed all the time. But then, we both did everything. And, you know, part of that was because I didn't know until I moved to New York that I was pretty much, I was reaping the benefits of Pete's influence on the Melbourne comedy scene.
No, I don't think that's fair. I mean, maybe.
In a good way.
But I think you were very good. Well, you were, what
no,
do you
no,
mean?
No, what I mean is that his influence was... Be as good as you can be, but do as many shows as you can do, and it doesn't really matter where they are.
I thought
are.
You meant like you were like, I was near Pete Jones, and that really made people think, wow, get on the end with it.
No,
I think
for so long,
I think his work ethic is impeccable. Yes. And his attitude is so good. So good.
Yes.
And he has helped a lot of people with that.
If we get him on here, he would be such a good... Okay, so that's what we'll do. In one year's time...
For now.
We'll get...
Next week. Okay. I'm organizing it as soon as possible.
I could do this tomorrow. I mean, we'll see what his schedule is.
I'm going to start a group chat.
Okay.
And Eve... I feel like there's a possibility that you might say yes to this, and I'm so thrilled. I just want to let you know preemptively. I'm honored. I'm blessed that you would even entertain it as an idea. I think this is going to be very fun.
Sometimes I'm like, what if I do a crazy thing? And then it gets closer. I'm like, I'm not going to do the crazy. That's too crazy. But this is so crazy. And I think the reason that I would consider it is that it's not just me. It's like somebody else's crazy thing that I'm like,
yes.
But I would have to... I think we'd have to do a regular phone call. So this is what I would need. I would need like hand-holding. I'm not just somebody who can put this on in Perth. Like, I need you to keep motivating me throughout.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be every day, but it can be, you know, semi-regular. And then I would need you to pay for the logistical stuff, you know, like the whatever.
Yes, absolutely. You wouldn't be on the hook for a thing.
Right. And then I would need... I have to think about more of my needs. But we... you know, I need a man to love and hold me. Not you, but you gotta find someone to correct. Send me a man, and I will do it. Send me the janitor from the stand,
doable.
And I will.
Man, there were some beautiful. I won't go on and on about this, but there are really some beautiful people working at the stand. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, isn't that nice that you got to do the show, the club that I would love to? Oh, good for you. You came to New York for like
a week. Yeah, but I didn't even know that was cool. So the whole time I was in New York, I did the stand. I was like, it's not the cellar. Why can't I get on at the cellar? Why will no one let me on here? It's impossible to get on the cellar.
It's so, I mean, I think, it's really hard. It's also like, it's not like, I mean, I'm sure it's amazing and I have people in my life who are on at the cellar, whatever. But I don't think it's like, and then God came down and said, you are a comedian. And I knew that it was true and I will be fit. It's just, it's a great show and it's an honor, but like, it's just a show, you know.
Eve, you're going to get there. And who knows if this is the show that opens those doors.
Okay,
a lot of eyes watching this show. A lot of people paying attention even now.
If you started a cult, I'm pretty sure I'd probably end up joining. Like,
I got to tell you, I have a very high Patreon sign up per listen.
Do you?
I have so few listeners and then like 50 people who pay me. It's great. It's incredible.
I hope this goes,
it's bizarre.
That's insane. And so how much do they pay each month? What's the pay?
Like $5 to $10. Yeah. So it's
wow.
So that's 1 year. Yeah.
And now that we're 1 year and you get so you're getting about between $250 and $500 a month, somewhere in there.
Yes. Over this year, I'd like to grow it to $1,000 a month, and then I can not have a job.
That'd be so great. And I love it. You've got three kids, and you're like, that's enough to support them all. And
I'm obviously selling her to a man in Thailand. I don't know.
I mean, I didn't realize, because you're like in your car, and I'm like, oh, he's in his car. It's like, no, we live here. This is my house.
Yeah, you want to see the child seats? Look at that. Yeah, three child seats in the back of the Volvo.
I hear a kid crying, and I'm like, wait, but when are you going to... You're just in the car for quiet. You're like, no, I'm in the house. This is the...
We got a lot of problems.
Before we go, because so this podcast is what you're trying to buy a boat for you and your family to live on, what, on dry land? You're like, we don't even want to put it in the water. We're just going to live in the yard.
No. Have you been talking to my wife? That's her bloody take at this point. I think it's crazy. I want to get on the water.
So what is the podcast? The podcast is to raise money for this boat?
Yeah, it's to do a series of plans that culminate in boat ownership. And so growing a podcast is a big one. And so I thought doing festivals, being there, meeting people in Edinburgh would be like a good way to grow the pod to a British audience.
Right.
But I would like to go, but it's a month. And if it was a sure thing, if someone was like, I want you to come and write for this show in LA because we need to meet our fat white guy commitment in our diversity box. You've got to come.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, whatever, $50,000.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Why don't we can't have all the diversity picks fail because there wasn't a fat white guy in the room getting it done. But, is a thing going past.
Yeah, I heard that. It was a car.
So I think if it was like, I think I could get away. Like, I got to go to America for 2 weeks because it was like, it was incredible opportunity and it was really hard. My wife was massively pregnant, but we spoke about it and it was like, enough good could come of this to make the rest of our life a little bit easier. But right, Edinburgh, what am I just hanging out, doing coke, slapping five and feeling good?
That's how I... That's what I'm going to do for the whole time. I'm just going to slap five. Yeah, I mean, I think Edinburgh, most people lose money. I know that I don't plan on losing money. That's part of why it would be great to have a second show. And I know that some people like Kyle Legacy, I think it's fine for me to say this, but that he, that's how he like funds half of his year is through Edinburgh, like doing lineup shows and stuff. So I think, yeah, for some, it really works out or whatever. But yeah, if you're just going for the first time to do one show and you're fighting against all these other shows and you have a family back home, you either better have money or you better be prepared to lose money, like just have enough to lose. But if you've got three kids, it's just too much, I think.
Well, I may even go away for a month at some point next year, but it's like, if I, at this point, like if it was a question of going somewhere for a month, even if I'd spent the last few years building something up in Edinburgh, I could do it. And then I could, you know, take my family and go back. I don't know. I mean, I love the thought of, I went once to Edinburgh.
All right.
With a girl that I was dating at the time. And I just went as in a supporting role. I was doing comedy, but I don't know. I had low self-esteem or something. I don't know. I don't know why I didn't do a show.
How long ago was this?
8 years ago, 9 years ago. It was a long time ago.
Okay.
Longer. Maybe. Man, sugar. Might have been 10. It was just after the Romney election. Gosh, it was 10 years ago.
When Mitt Romney lost?
I just remember that relationship ending shortly after Mitt Romney lost.
And is that why? You like had Romney?
Yeah, I
won?
Couldn't go on. I couldn't go on.
Yeah. I get it.
But I went and I saw it and I hung out in Edinburgh and it seemed great. But also, I don't have the temperament to do, I don't even do Melbourne for a full run.
Yeah.
Like
really?
I like doing, no, I never managed it. When I did manage it with like a musical, or I once did a solo show where I dressed up as a nun and I spoke about Monopoly, I don't have the, some people have that staying power and they get energy from gigs. I find it very draining and I can do like one, really, if I do an hour a week, I'm very happy. And I've got it out of my system.
What do you mean? Like a week of a 1 hour show, like seven nights?
No, like I think my dream life would be like I have a residency somewhere and on Friday night I get up and do an hour. And that's the only show I do for the week.
No.
Yeah. When I go out and when I'm in Melbourne and I just run around doing 5 minutes at a time, by the end of the night, like after I've done 4 or 5 minute spots, I'm like,
what about 20 minutes, five nights a week or 20 minutes twice a night for,
you know what? I could split it up like that. A 20 feels like nothing. I could do a 20 and then eat a sandwich.
Or a 30.
Doing an hour, I can do an hour, three nights back to back. And then the fourth night, I'm weird. And I'm eating a pizza on stage and I'm shouting at somebody and I'm like hitting myself in the head. It's not something that I do well. It's not a skill that I have.
I do love, I guess right now, because I'm not in the momentum that I used to be in, when I look back, I'm like, oh man, what I would give to be doing an hour a night, you know? But then I'll, like, let's speak again in August. I mean, obviously we'll speak before then, but when I'm, if I am doing my hour, my lineup show, then this crazy fucking thing, it's like, I'll be on the ledge, you know? But like, I don't know, should I jump? By the way, just, you know, you should, when we talk to Peter Jones, make it sooner rather than later because applications are opening this week for the Free Fringe.
All right, I will.
So let's try and talk do it to tomorrow.
Peter all right, let's do it tomorrow. I think I can do it tomorrow.
Okay. See,
yep, let's do it.
Hopefully he'll be around. Yeah.
All right, hold on. Now I'm going to make sure I've saved this. God bless you.
Okay. God bless you.
One second. I'm just going to stop the recording.
Okay. I'll stop the recording too.